Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Edgerrin James. You taught me how to be a true pro on and off the field. And you were a great teammate and a pretty good roommate before the games, even though you wouldn't let me adjust the temperature above 59 degrees, man.
59 degrees. Dwight Freeney at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, his enshrinement to the Syracuse grad. 59. A teammate that won't let you put it above 59 degrees in the hotel room. Psycho.
Yeah.
What's the lowest you've ever had a hotel room at?
I think I would have to fight someone over that.
Is it 66? What's the lowest you've ever...
I think I've seen 65.
You would put a thermostat to 65.
Yeah.
I walked into one time that was at 60. And I walked in and it was... Even on a summer day when I walked in, it was cold.
That's freezing. Indoors. Indoor 60 is not the same as outdoor 60. I don't know the science on this, but if you're inside and it's 60, that's freezing. If you're outside and it's 60, that's kind of nice outside. 59 degrees. Someone listening right now is like, 59? I need it 55.
Yeah.
How low do they go? I'll stay in the freezer.
That's a good question. How low do they go? How low could my air conditioner work? If I put it at 50, would it get it down to 50? There's no way, right?
In a room in your house?
Yeah.
I mean, it depends on how well insulated the room is.
Let's say it's a well-insulated room. It's a well-insulated room. It'll get down to 50?
I bet it could probably do it, yeah.
What about... I mean, there's got to be a line here, right? Will it get down to 40? It can't get down below freezing because then you would need... I mean, the thing would freeze, I think. Right? Isn't that how that works?
I feel like it's just on... 24/7. Like, it's just working to get to that number, and it'll never get there. Because that's what air conditioners do. They get to that number, and then they turn off.
Yeah. That's right. So, okay, this is a good question, then. I think, yeah, but 59 and the start is psycho behavior to have it down that much.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that.
Dwight Freeney to the Hall of Fame. Steve McMichael saw his moment.
Yeah, I didn't see any like big viral speeches or anything. Other than I did see that referenced, Freeney. Did Andre Johnson maybe have something? No, maybe not.
Julius Peppers, Andre Johnson.
Maybe an uneventful
Devin Hester.
Devin Hester.
Devin Hester said he was the best return man of all time.
He did. He called himself that?
He did.
How do you feel about that? Someone kind of knighting themselves.
I mean, on kickoff returns, he has 5, and Cordarrelle Patterson has 9.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that's fine.
He does have one in a Super Bowl.
True.
Does he count that for, like, 5?
What you do in Super Bowls matters more, and we should probably just embrace that. Devin Hester did have 14 punt return touchdowns, which is the most ever.
That's insane.
He had 14. The next closest, Eric Metcalf, had 10.
Okay.
Super Bowls, listen, Super Bowls matter more, and we can probably, I don't know, Joe, do you want to split a line here and say, yes, they should matter more, but also we don't want it to skew everything? Because we just mentioned before the break, like, next year Eli Manning is up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame for the first time.
Yes, he is.
There are some that think he should not make the Hall of Fame, period. You're probably one of them.
Yes, sir.
There are some that think he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Can I give you the best?
I've heard that.
Can I give you the best argument for him and why he will probably get in?
Sure, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, I know why he'll get in. I don't agree with why he'll get in.
He'll get in because it's the Giants. He's a Manning. He won 2 Super Bowls.
And they were against Brady.
Bingo.
Yep.
If the Hall of Fame is telling the story of the game, then Eli Manning is definitely getting in. Imagine he's left out for however many years. The senior committee or whatever they do. Like, aren't they putting him in? You get guys in that you've never heard of before that are great players, of course, or important to the game. You won 2 Super Bowls against Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. The guy that everybody likes to say is the GOAT, the best, he has a nemesis. He has a... Spider-Man has a Green Goblin or whatever you want to say. I don't know, I went to those two. You have a guy he didn't beat.
Mm-hmm.
If the story of Brady is told about, well, this and this and this and this. Brady, by the way, just turned 47 this weekend. 47, if you want to think he's coming back. Eli is the foil. He's the guy. He won 2 Super Bowls. You win 2, you're going. And if you want to say, his number's this, his number's that, I don't even think anyone would argue. They'd say, don't care. The Super Bowl does matter more. And if you win it twice, it like is the end of the conversation.
Can I just introduce you, though, to another quarterback that has the exact same win percentage as Eli Manning in the both the regular season and the playoffs, the exact same touchdown-interception ratio, the exact same yards per attempt, and who also beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl?
But doesn't have 2?
He has 1.
He doesn't have 2.
Okay, so what you're telling me then is Nick Foles was one more beat Brady away from you're a Hall of Fame football player.
Maybe.
And to me, that sounds like lunacy. Every number, including like the winning, right? We're saying he's going in because of the winning. Eli finished 500. Every single number, it's uncanny how identical they are to Nick Foles.
Wins aren't a quarterback stat.
When they're in the Super Bowl.
That's what we like to say. Wins are not a quarterback stat.
Just... I can't, like, this was for years for me, like, okay, if you thought, like, this was 5 years ago, maybe. If you thought Eli Manning was going to be a Hall of Famer 5 years ago, then you thought Joe Flacco was 1 Super Bowl away from also being a Hall of Famer. I guess you're making the Brady point, which does make it different. Like, I can respect beating Brady twice, but the guy played 200 football games. And it's nuts to me that we just throw out the other 195. Just, nope, wipe them away. Like, yes, they were huge. They were that important. But we ignore the other 195 games where he was at best a league average quarterback that had a 500 record for his career. That's hard to do, by the way. Exactly 500. He's at the same win percentage as Tyrod Taylor for his career. Just, I thought it was about the winning. But it's only about the winning these 2 times? And they were that good? I know they were that good. Oh, his Hall of Fame candidacy is going to drive me nuts for the next year. Because I do understand that's why he's going to get in. I just don't think he was a very good football player.
No, he's going in. I'm convinced.
I am too.
You probably are too.
I'm going to go glue myself to the stage out of protest. Super glue myself to the Manning stage. He's also making it hard to like rail against this and be mad for the next year because it does drive me crazy. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame because he's become like the most likable player ever post-career.
He threw out the first pitch of the Yankee game.
Yes.
Over the weekend.
Yes, he did. And he's super good on the Manning cast. He's actually funny. Where was that during his career?
He was playing quarterback.
And he was throwing picks. leading the league in interceptions. He had 27 interceptions in 1 year.
If you're not shooting, you're not trying or whatever. I don't know. I'm looking for some phrase there. Shoot or shoot. There it is. That's the one.
Shoot or shoot.
27 picks. Peyton had a 28-pick season, like as a rookie, though. Eli probably did it in his prime, right?
Eli had, yeah, what year was that? 27 picks, led the league at age 32 here. Right in the middle. He played seven more years after throwing 27 interceptions.
Yeah.
He's just, I don't think he was good. I think, or maybe he was fine. But fine should not be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I don't care what you did.
How you feel about Eli Manning is how I feel about Curtis Martin. He's fine.
Okay.
He's fine. He didn't win Super Bowls. He was fine. He was fine.
Mm-hmm.
He ran a lot.
It's also not like he the throws are legendary. There's two.
Are they legendary throws or legendary catches?
Although, might be more legendary. Well, the Manningham one in the second one is definitely a legendary throw.
The Tyree catch, and he did get away from a sack that probably should have been blown dead.
Yep.
Or at least they thought it should have been.
It's not like he went toe-to-toe with Tom Brady.
No, they won like 17-14.
He scored like 17 points.
Yeah.
He didn't. It was not this heroic. It wasn't Rocky and Drago in the ring trading rights. He threw. What were his numbers in that game? The Patriots Super Bowl. Did he have like? Did he even get to 200 yards in that game? He probably got to 200 yards in that game, right? Okay, they scored 17 points. 255, two touchdowns and a pick. I don't know. 17 points. And the second one, he scored 21. He scored 38 points in the two Brady Super Bowls. Foles, at least, how many points did Foles score in the
38?
Two Brady Super Bowls?
Was it that many?
It might have been.
Yeah.
He caught one.
Mark and Tonawanda joining us on the phone lines. We connect with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Hey, Mark.
Good morning, guys. Hey, as we're talking about, you know, nemesis and stuff like that, and my first thought is Mahomes and the Chiefs, but they're just, something about them, they're so likable. And I want to crush them every time we play. It's not like, you know, I want them to win. But it's like I want to hate them the way I hated Brady, and I just don't. They always seem to talk up Josh Allen. Even Chris Jones talks up Allen. You think Kelsey's a jerk, like, when he plays. After the game, he's hugging Allen, and they're just tough not to like. And that drives me absolutely nuts. I'm going to have to listen. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to step in on this and say we need to stop. We got into this last week, this dirty conversation of everyone just being okay with the Chiefs. You'd rather they win it than not.
I
pointed out that
you pointed at Bills fans and said that they're your second favorite
Chiefs
team.
The Chiefs are your second favorite team. You have arrived at that if you say you'd rather have them win than insert all the other AFC teams.
Mm-hmm.
And here, Kelsey's hugging Allen.
Yep.
Why would he be mad at Allen? Why would the Chiefs be mad at Josh Allen? Why would Mahomes be mad at when the Bills beat the Chiefs in Kansas City this year with the Kadarius Toney offside call, Mahomes lost his mind. He was mad.
He went nuts.
Reed and Kelsey losing their minds on the sideline in the Super Bowl or AFC Championship game? The Super Bowl. When things were not going well.
When he bumped him?
Yeah.
I think it was the AFC Championship game. Yeah.
That was the Super Bowl. It was the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And
you might be right. Yep. Yeah, you are right.
I'm not here to tell you the Bills don't get mad. But here are moments where we see them upset. They're not thinking about how much they respect the other team. They're mad. They're hopping mad. Mahomes sounded like you were really on him. For me, it was like about him being a competitor. And, you know, if the Bills get mad, they get mad. That's fine.
He was being a big baby.
A big baby.
And
some in the media, Robert Griffin III, thought the play should count because it was for Travis Kelce's legacy or something when he threw that pass to Toney.
Yeah.
But this,
well, it's kind of how Mahomes was acting, right?
I understand.
He was kind of being I know it was offside. It should have counted because it was that cool.
Granted, there's nothing you can do individually yourself about it, but this creeping acceptance of Kansas City's dominance, I find to be a little bit troubling. And again, like, there's nothing I can do about it. Nothing you can do about it. You can appreciate Mahomes or hate his guts. We finally got him here in Buffalo for a playoff game, and he was, what, unstoppable?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the defense had no answers for what he was going to do. You want to say that's the linebackers? Okay. If the linebackers are healthy, do they sack Mahomes in a playoff game for the first time ever? They haven't done that.
They haven't.
This acceptance of their dominance. Would you take right now Bills at Chiefs, AFC Championship game? Answer, everybody would say, well, yeah, I would take that. You'd go there again, hope to beat them again, and what would happen? Wouldn't it be about the same as losing the Super Bowl? Because you would continue to just be their punching bag. The Bills can't.
Well, it
Bills,
wouldn't be. You're saying Bills it wouldn't be the same as getting the Super Bowl, because Super Bowl would be you slay the dragon.
And then if you lose the Super Bowl, you lose your fifth. And it's the number of people that last week said I couldn't take losing another Super Bowl because it'd be now the Bills have lost five. It was a high number. The fear getting there and losing. They'd rather lose ahead of time. Another loss to the Chiefs in the playoffs. And what would you do? Are we taking more calls next year? I mean, Mark, I know you're not alone, and I'm like trying to generate this hatred for that team a little bit because they don't strike me the same way. I feel like they should, though. Another loss to them? What would that be like? What would we be next year?
Wouldn't it be the exact same?
The same?
Wouldn't it feel the same? It's like at some point it happens over and over and over and over. Don't you just like...
You're just okay with it?
That's where the people are at now. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you've already accepted it and it happens again, then you're not in any different seat a year from now, right? You already thought, oh, we'll never get over the Chiefs. As long as McDermott's the coach, we'll never beat the Chiefs. So if you lose to the Chiefs again, what are people going to be changing? Maybe you'll just have more people joining that club is what you're going to have.
Yeah.
Is every time they lose to the Chiefs in the playoffs, the camp, the big tent camp of, well, McDermott will never win it, we'll never beat the Chiefs. They'll just more people will join that every year that passes.
Yeah,
I don't know how different it's going to feel, though, if you're already there. If you're already there, you're going to like, see? Told you, we're just wasting time here. That's what it's going to feel like. We're just wasting time here. Waiting for a big break or something, like when Mahomes gets like, injured or Kelsey gets retired or Reed leaves.
A year like last year, we has no receivers, and they're like the 12th best offense in football, and he's horrible throwing down the field.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's hard to even like... I would sit here and say, like, well, maybe you could think, well, like, Allen will eventually just will them to victory because he's that good and talented against the Chiefs. He already did that. He already did will you to victory. You didn't make it. So when that happens, it'll feel like, well, there's nothing that can happen on our end. It's got to happen there. We gave them our best shot. Our quarterback had an amazing game. He led two comebacks in 2 minutes.
So did their quarterback.
I know, but that's the acceptance. It's no matter what guy does, I can't beat your guy because he did his best.
That's not acceptance. That's pointing out that fourth quarter comebacks and clutch, the 13 seconds game, say what you will. You know, hey, Josh left the field with the lead. That's not on him. So did Mahomes right before Allen scored again. So if Allen had, if they had closed out that kickoff, you could say about Mahomes, if they didn't score 13 seconds left, like, well, he left the field with the lead too. They both did. It was a good game. The hard game.
So the acknowledgement then is more about McDermott, isn't it? You'll never stop him in the playoffs. Look at his numbers. He's a near perfect quarterback
against
when he plays the Bills in the postseason.
Against you, he's
near perfect. He has like 15 incompletions.
Right. All the stuff that people post accurately about how good Allen is in the playoffs and his touchdown to interception ratio and all that.
Yeah.
Mahomes against the Bills is that. Is he not?
In the postseason, he is.
Mm-hmm. We can sit here and say, look what the Bills do to Tyreek Hill on a regular basis. They do. They do. But then they get to the playoffs. And what if the playoffs matter more, which that's where we live now. We live where the playoffs matter more. Another example, Stephon Diggs dropped a pass and it was, he's done. You're out, and you were never good. He didn't drop passes down the field all year long.
Right.
The connection they missed was they kept missing him downfield. And then in the playoffs, he drops a pass. You're out. Playoffs do matter more. This is for Eli. This is for us. This is the real world where you get this good, and there's really only one thing that can satisfy things. That's beating them and winning it. And that's why, like, trading with them, I don't know if it's going to work out for them, but trading with them, I hated it. What are you doing working with them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't have to worry about what they're going to do. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you should be obsessed with it. You should be obsessed with it. If this were the Olympics and you're playing once every 4 years and you finished second to the same person 3 times, would that athlete not unbelievably intensely focus on their opponent, what they do, how they can be, I have to beat that person.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the Bills probably are doing that and selling the idea that, well, you don't worry about them, only worry about your own stuff. I don't think that's right. I don't think the Bills are doing that either. That's why they signed Vaughn for $120 million, was to finish them off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they drafted Kyer Elam to be faster at corner. Is it not? Levi Wallace wasn't fast enough. Okay, get Kyer Elam. He's faster.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the Chiefs.
Here are they trying to recreate Kelsey with Kincaid?
Yes.
Is that a reaction?
Is that not it, too? Look what they can do with a tight end. Let's have one of those.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not like the Chiefs invented that with the tight end, but they certainly have perfected it.
I just feel like all those moves are just you're following them. Don't you want to be getting ahead of them? Trying something different? Were they doing that in some other ways that I'm not thinking of? Because all these examples you're bringing up is, hey, something happened and now you're reacting. Isn't that the opposite of what you're supposed to be? Aren't you just trying to not copy? Well, maybe you should be kind of trying to copy. I don't know what you should be trying to do with them in mind. Copycat or trying to do it differently?
Well, I look at the Chiefs and their identity as they have incredible things around Mahomes. That's Reed and Kelsey, first and foremost. It used to be Hill. And we'll see what they do from there.
Steve Spagnuolo on that list, too, by
the way. That's right. They have a great defensive coordinator in the playoffs.
I mean, that's an advantage that they'll always have, too. Like, they, as long as Reed's there, like, they have a mastermind on offense and a mastermind on defense. And I think we will always be wondering if the Bills have two of those. Like, I think we pretty much know that about McDermott, even though the results in the playoffs against him specifically don't match that. I think McDermott's reputation is deserved. And then offensively, like, it's often going to be that you're wondering if the Bills have a guy that's calling the shots on the offense that can match. Even in the one-on-one, don't compare him to Reed, compare him to Spagnuolo. Right. Do we have a guy that can match him on the other side and go head-to-head with him as long as he's there? Because I think that's going to... It could be yes. I'm not saying it couldn't be, but you just don't know. And on the other side, you know exactly what you're getting. You know those guys are going to have their team having an advantage.
Kyle writes in, the acceptance of Mahomes over Brady is due to the fact that Brady would immediately shut us out from success. We still beat the Chiefs in the regular season, so there's always hope. There's fear of being leapfrogged of your success. And that's a fair point. I like the leapfrog point there, that... For a lot, the fear isn't finishing behind the Chiefs. It's someone else getting past the Bills. I mean, listen, I'm not trying to say anybody is completely happy with what's happened, but it's playing for a silver medal. Like, okay, if we got silver, that's better than bronze. That's better than somebody else winning the gold. If we can, like, Olympic talk this thing.
Mahomes' numbers against the Bills, like, he's amazing.
In the playoffs?
You're not going to stop him. But the playoffs, slowing him down, he is 79 for 105. That is a 75% completion percentage. 918 yards in three games. 8 touchdowns, no picks, hasn't taken a sack. He gets you don't slow him down in the playoffs, he gets better against you in the playoffs than what his average is. That's it, right? Last year, with the built-in acknowledgement that they didn't have their linebackers. Because I do believe that would have been the one. I think they would have slowed them, not even slowed them down, I think they would have played him like other defenses played him, which is, they can't do as much as they used to. Like last year when the Bills played them and Mahomes had a great game, that was not his norm. We went through it last hour, like his numbers were down across the board.
And he showed it against the Ravens when they did not look very good.
Exactly. But when they played the Bills, he looked like normal Mahomes, normal Chiefs offense. But that, you know, that would have been the one where McDermott and the Bills would have had the answers, because everyone kind of had the answers. But they couldn't execute it because they had A.J. Klein starting a middle linebacker.
803-0550 and 1-888-550-2550.
He's not the best player in the world, though, according to the
NFL players. No, that's Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Or the best quarterback.
And Lamar's the best quarterback on the NFL Top 100. Each and every one of you can decide how upset to get about that.
By the way, points scored against Tom Brady in the Super Bowl, 41 for Nick Foles, 38 for Eli Manning. Let's go. 12 months of this. I am ready.
It's about wins.
I am so ready.
You can join us if you'd like. Wide open phone lines for you. Bills practicing today. Bobby Babich meeting with the media right now. They moved their practice up. It's not open to the public anyway, but it's an 8:30 practice today because weather expected to come through, so the Bills moved things up a bit. They'll practice today, Wednesday, Thursday, and then back in Orchard Park full-time with the preseason beginning against the Bears Saturday. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yell.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Old takes exposed on the call of the 100-meter race.
Yep.
That was not the guy that won it.
Nope. He finished silver, though, right?
Yes, he did. And Usain Bolt was a full tenth of a second under all that.
Will that make it harder for that guy going forward? If he wants the guy from Jamaica who wins the silver, he goes back and watches the highlights of it to see like how close I really came, and there's the clip, and the guy is saying, you won the gold medal. Forever, and you didn't.
Just play it for friends and family and don't show them the review. They didn't slow it down. That's it.
What are you doing? They have to see the medal.
Paint it.
Show them the poster. Yeah, they gave us this instead. I love these Olympics. I think Gold Zone is making me love these Olympics more than in the past. I love Gold Zone. As a Red Zone, frequent Red Zone watcher, Gold Zone's been great.
Yeah, I spent some time on Gold Zone over the weekend. It was good.
They didn't go to the golf that often, though, I noticed. Is it because there's like, there's not a lot of like big plays, highlight, like it's just always kind of happening? I don't know.
It's a pretty slow sport.
Yeah, like it's not, golf's not maybe fit for Gold Zone. It already is Gold Zone, isn't it?
No one ever does to golf what they do to football, which is, hey, in a 3-hour broadcast, there's only 13 minutes of action. In a 5-hour round of golf, how much action is there?
Well, golf.
Like 4 minutes? You hit a shot, it lasts 12 seconds.
Yeah, but there's a million. Golf is the original Red Zone, right? We weren't following Tiger every minute of his heyday. It was, we're going to show you Tiger shot, and then, oh, look over here, Adam Scott's hitting, and then over here, Vijay Singh, and over here, Ernie Els. Like, golf is the original Red Zone. They're going from camera to camera wherever the action's going on.
I guess.
What's different about it? It's just the sport's different. But they're taking you to wherever the action on the course is.
Shots. They're taking you to shots.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're not just going one camera feed. We're following Tiger the whole time.
They do offer that
on the broadcast.
Yeah. It's like an alternative broadcast now.
Yeah. Right.
Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Josh Allen, 12th in the NFL top 100. Tyreek Hill, number one. Lamar, number two. McCaffrey, three. Mahomes, four.
Yep. We've got some training camp stuff from around the league. There's a question about Kyle Pitts and whether breathing heavy at practice means he's out of shape for the Falcons. I'm going to go ahead and just draft him in fantasy anyway. I saw this. Did you see the story about the Giants from this morning from Dan Duggan of The Athletic? He said that, let me get the exact wording right. Multiple Giants players have said the Lions seem to stun the Giants with their intensity and aggression on day one with their joint practice. So now Giants fans are going back and forth about, like, uh-oh, is this bad coaching by Dable because Dan Campbell's guys are just stunning them at practice?
I do feel like Dan Campbell's a different kind of animal here.
You can't compare it to...
Yes.
Yeah.
The Lions are just going to play the hardest of any team in football because of Dan Campbell.
Yep.
All right, who's Super Bowl or bust this year? Which teams?
The Niners.
Lions? The Lions were leading the NFC Championship game by a lot.
Win the Super Bowl?
Super Bowl, whatever. Make it. Super Bowl or bust?
All right.
How many teams?
Lions, Niners...
Chiefs always are.
Chiefs.
Have to be. Ravens.
Bills. Bills?
We don't talk about them like that. We think, right?
Shouldn't it still?
I think the Ravens are Super Bowl or bust.
Ravens are Super Bowl or bust. Are the Texans Super Bowl or bust? Are the Bengals?
No.
What are the Bengals then?
They're just the Bengals.
They've already been.
They're just there as this team that's going to get too much attention.
But they could win it.
No.
What is an AFC championship loss satisfying to the Bengals? I think they have to be Super Bowl or bust.
Does anybody else every once in a while get to a point on the Bills where you say, you know, this team and these expectations are, I mean, listen, I know the Chiefs are in the way.
I'm wondering about what you're about to say because I had a weird thought the other day people will hate.
Isn't it time to make the AFC championship game again to talk like the Bills talk?
That's not what I was thinking.
We talk about them. Isn't it time to at least make the conference championship game to talk about them as like you're always a contender when you have Josh Allen? And without even disputing that. If we want to do an or bust, and it's really not probably the best year to do this because of the changes they've gone through, but
yeah.
Man, we should probably get to AFC championship game or bust. They went there in a year where we didn't even think that was the best version of them, and they went there. And they haven't been back. Is it?
And didn't we all assume that week, like when they lost, like, oh, you know, like that was their first year with Allen being an MVP. How mad were we even?
We were not.
We were not that mad. Like, oh, cool. Like, I remember me thinking, like, this is brand new. Like, a team winning playoff games that I can remember watching. And, like, oh, they'll be back.
And the next year was 13 seconds where they should have hosted the AFC Championship game, but didn't.
Then we were mad. Yeah.
It's got to be get there or else. On a level. Like, I don't actually anticipate any change. But we are spending years talking about how they're a contender as long as they have Allen. And to not make AFC championship games, like, there's one spot the Bengals are. The Bengals have been to two.
Mm-hmm.
They won one of them, and they went to another one.
Mm-hmm.
And lost, what, by a field goal? To the Chiefs?
Yes.
The second time?
Yeah, because that person, they were tied, right? That personal foul penalty?
Yeah.
Out of bounds?
So, I don't know. Every once in a while, I step out of my feeling good that everybody's good and the Bills are going to be good and think, but it really is time to make a championship game again. 2020, they make the championship game. No.
There weren't even fans. Yeah, there weren't even fans.
2021 is the year.
2020, yeah.
2020, you know what I'm trying to say.
It's the COVID season.
That's when that was? Yeah, because it's after Lamar Jackson. Yeah.
Jack Eichel was still a Buffalo Sabre.
Wow. When you put it that way.
It was a minute ago.
All right, Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron.
Hey, good morning, guys. I don't know. You know, I know it was the same year, but the year when we lost 13 seconds, the week before, I wonder if the Browns' loss to the Chiefs was worse than any Buffalo loss to the Chiefs, where you fumble a ball into the end zone so you don't get points there, and then Mahomes gets hurt, and I don't know if he missed the entire second half, but they're playing against a backup quarterback the whole second half, and the Browns still couldn't beat him. So I don't know if it was the same year. I feel like it was the week before, but that Browns should have won that game. And I just wonder which game was worse, the 13-second game or the Browns game. And, you know, they got their own problems, too. I was to hang up a list. I just wonder your thoughts. Thanks.
I mean, 13 seconds is almost definitely worse to me.
Yeah, I think it's pretty.
The Browns one's bad. They had, I remembered it being a half. Maybe it wasn't that much, though. But they got Chad Henne in some meaningful snaps, and it didn't end up resulting. I mean, they lost by five. Henne came in 5 minutes left in the third quarter. 5 minutes left in the third quarter. And the score at that point in time, this is the 2020 playoffs. So this is before the Bills play them.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the Bills would never, they would have hosted Cleveland in the AFC Championship game had they got this home. But the score at that point was 19-10. They had a quarter and a half
of a 9-point lead.
Of a 9-point deficit.
The Chiefs were down 9?
No, the Chiefs were up 9.
Oh, okay.
Well, when Mahomes went out.
Oh, okay.
So
well, then that's,
how mad are we really at the Browns? They didn't make up a 9-point deficit on the Chiefs. They scored two touchdowns, they allowed 3 points. So
it's not that bad.
It's not.
They were losing by 9. The fumble out of the end zone, I remember that. That was tough. David in Buffalo. Hey, David.
Hey, how are you, fellas? My first statement is I do think it's Super Bowl a bust for the Bills. That's me personally. But this is my question for Jeremy. Do you feel that Josh Allen's youth and talent is being wasted on this coaching regime?
I don't know. I don't think so. You know, over the weekend I saw someone laying out a case for Josh Allen how, you know, he's only made it this far and they haven't done enough around him. And the reality is they've had really, really good teams around him. You know, for all we said about last year's Chiefs, right? The Chiefs last year did not have their best offense, but their defense was the best they've had, and they rode that to the win.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bills, for a lot of Allen's years, have had a defense, maybe not as good as last year's Chiefs, but they've gone to the playoffs with really good defenses. And is there an injury here or there? Last year, sure. But a lot of teams get hurt. A lot of teams get an injury.
Let me ask you, though. How good have their defenses been in the playoffs?
Not very good. Not against the Chiefs. I shouldn't say that. They were good against the Ravens. They're good against some bad quarterbacks. But against the Chiefs, the defense has not been very good.
They weren't good against the Bengals.
And they certainly were not good against the Bengals.
Were they good against Skylar Thompson?
I mean, sure.
Like, the totality.
They were very. Skylar Thompson was like 17 of 45. They were fine against Skylar Thompson. The Dolphins got a defensive touchdown in that game.
Yeah. Because when you get in to try to explain, like, why hasn't. Like, that's part of this. It's like,
because they've
coaching.
They've not had the Spagnuolo and Romo performance from their defense in the biggest game against the great quarterback. I've got the Bengals doing it to Mahomes. I've got the Chiefs doing it to the Bills to some degree. Not even really. Like, did the Chiefs defense do the job last year? Last year's a great game to study. Last year's Bills Chiefs game. How did the Chiefs think their defense played?
In that game specifically?
In that game. Like, the Bills were efficient. They were balanced. They had the ball with a chance to win the game and didn't.
Mm-hmm.
How's the defense of Kansas City feel like they played that day? Good? Good enough?
They probably feel pretty good about it.
I don't know. Are they wasting Allen? I don't think they're wasting him, no.
But at the same time, I do think, like, this comes up whenever Allen gets, you know, hit over the head with some TV, one person comes up and says, well, like, oh, he hasn't been to the Super Bowl. And when I hear that, the part that I have a tough time with is it's hard for me to ignore how good his numbers are in the playoffs. They're amazing. And is the Bengal game the only one you could kind of say this about? Like, him having a bad game in the playoffs that sunk them? But is that number one or two on the list of that game for why they lost? Like, it doesn't even really, you don't even think of it that way. You don't think of the Bengal game as Allen lost them that game. I don't think he was good. But, like, part of how I get to the defense and how their performance has let them down in the playoffs, and that gets to coaching, is their quarterback's not letting them down in the playoffs to me.
In 2022, the year they lose to the Bengals.
Yeah, that one.
He finishes the postseason 3 touchdowns, 3 picks.
Okay. So that's not great.
And he also took 8 sacks. That's the big number on that year. But, he never gets blamed for that game.
Right.
No, who does?
I don't know what to do with that game even still. It was just weird. Right? It felt like they never... It just was weird. And it's weird because it was unique. They're a football team that never loses by double digits.
No.
Ever. And that was a game where you felt like you were never in it. I can't remember the last time. It was the COVID Tennessee game, maybe? The last time I felt like they weren't in a football game. And they still only lost... Well, they lost by 17.
17.
That's a good amount. I'm thinking of last year where they only lost by 6.
Anyway, such is life as a Bills fan. Feeling really confident, really good, and then also being like, but she'd probably make the AFC Championship game again.
I thought when you were building up to your question from earlier, I thought what you were about to say is something that I had the thought of this weekend, that it's a very, it's kind of an evil thought almost that I think people would hard disagree with. I did have the wonder in my mind this weekend, did I have more fun with the Bills during the drought?
Get out of here. No. Get out.
The drought.
Get out.
Look
Leave.
Back
go
on the
home,
drought.
Go home.
The drought was fun.
You're dismissed.
The drought was
absolutely not.
The drought was like
absolutely
so an adorable
not.
Little thing over this here.
I actually have.
I like to have no expectations.
I have a thing today for worst take.
Yeah.
The segment we do where someone had a take that's so bad it needs to be identified as worst take, and you're going to beat it right now. You're going to beat it right now.
I'm just, you know, back fondly on the drought. It's fun. I'm thinking about some of those games. It's like, look at us back then.
Yeah, it was very,
we made it through all that.
It was very fun to watch the Bills lose to Cleveland 6-3.
I mean,
that was really fun. It was really exciting to watch them lose a Monday Night Football game up 8 points with like 9 seconds left and lose it in regulation. That was amazingly fun.
Didn't you feel alive?
It was so fun.
Didn't you feel alive?
To watch people latch on to the idea of Jeff Tool. That was amazing. I loved that.
But
it was really fun to watch Sean Smith take a pick 6 back 100 yards as the Chiefs went to 10-0 and somehow beat the Bills that day when the Bills were all over them. It was incredibly fun watching Thad Lewis play quarterback for the Bills with broken ribs in New Orleans.
But see, that's what I mean. You never knew what you were going to get.
It was very fun watching Doug Marrone punt in Miami down 10 points with 6 minutes left. These were all very fun things. Way better than last-minute touchdowns to beat teams. Way more fun than knocking off the Rams on the road to open the season in primetime.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it was much more fun to see them lose by 30 in Toronto than it was to see them go to Arrowhead and win games in November. Yes, this is a good point. This is great.
Didn't you feel alive, though,
I felt
during
alive,
all that?
I felt alive
every
yelling
week,
at you right now.
It was just, it's like it was a drama. Like, what are we going to get this week?
Yeah.
Tune in next to see what in the world they've cooked up for us.
Here's what you're going to get.
On this episode of The Drought.
You're going to get sub-300 yards passing because that happened for like 50 consecutive games.
Well, that part right where you
And
you
that
you
was so bad that you had Bills fans talking themselves into 300 yards being bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. Why do I want 300 yards? You're going to get less than 300 yards. You're going to get a defense that stops the run, maybe.
Maybe it's more fun to think back on it than it was to experience it.
You'll lose by 6 points to some team you felt like you should have won, and the highlights won't even make it to ESPN. That's what you're going to get out of a drought-era Bills team. I will give you the worst take,
I'm interested to hear what the worst take is.
Worst take of the weekend. It came from the Hall of Fame ceremony.
From the ceremony?
Yes.
Okay.
It kind of came from the ceremony. This is, I mean, it's a pretty embarrassing self-own. It's not about who was mentioned at the ceremony. It's about who wasn't. Worst take is next.
Time for worst take. Who had the worst take?
All right. Worst take. Worse than, maybe not worse than you, just asking kind of openly, was the drought more fun than this? Worst take.
Yeah.
Came from the Hall of Fame. Weekend.
Okay.
So, John McClane, not the Die Hard cop.
Okay.
That's John McClane,
the writer.
Also. The longtime Houston Chronicle, 48 years covering the NFL in Houston. Very well respected on the Hall of Fame committee.
Yeah.
I feel like I know that because he tweeted, "It's official. The Pro Football Hall of Fame selection committee was shut out. First time I can remember, no mentions. Congratulations to the class of 2024 and the committee members who championed them. He was upset that none of the players in the Hall of Fame speeches thanked the committee.
I think that's worse than me asking if the draw was more fun.
It is kind of tough.
Come on, guy.
It's tough.
Come on, guy. I didn't get thanked, basically. And I put you in. That's kind of how it sounds.
Right. I did this for you. You owe me a favor.
Yeah.
You owe me a word of thanks. I mean, that reminds me of how the committee kept Terrell Owens out on purpose as punishment. Like, it's not your. I mean, some think it is their job. I don't think it's your job.
Right.
Like, you must be nice to us. We have to like you.
Right. Yeah, that's tough.
Update from Bills practice today. They moved time up. Justin Shorter is not in pads today. He's wearing one of the not practicing jerseys off to the side.
I thought of him for a moment. I thought of him earlier when you asked Sal, like, who's got stuff to prove at preseason? Like, is he even come up when we're thinking about, like, who's going to make the team? Like, Tyrell Shavers is having his camp and getting first team reps. Like, where? Wouldn't that have been what Bills fans would have been like, oh, yeah, you watch Justin Shorter. He was the guy in the graphics all offseason, like on ESPN. Like, Bills receivers post Stephon Diggs trade, and Justin Shorter's name would be up there. And I don't know, does anybody think he's going to make the team right now?
No. No, in fact, I mean, if you're doing live odds, Shavers has to be a favorite to make the team.
Over Shorter.
Over
sure.
Shorter and over MVS.
Yeah.
And Claypool has not participated really in camp.
Yep. We're going to have a nice win-win on our bet because I'm going to win the bet and you're going to...
I'm going to lose it because Shavers made the team.
Yeah. Which is the way it should be.
How much is that bet for?
$20.
$20? What am I doing over here?
$20.
Don't you have some sort of...
Something else we can even
out on? Something else you can lose on that bet board?
I think I got to give Howard $10 because Justin Fields is never going to throw 4,000 yards.
Okay. I'll give him the money.
Actually, he might... this year, he might start. He's not getting 4,000 yards.
No. 803-0550. Speaking of the Bears.
Lauren Cox locked on Bears, when we come back.
Yeah, former Bear, but speaking of the Bears, Lauren Cox. We'll chat about Saturday's matchup, preseason tilt, whether or not we see Caleb Williams in his first NFL performance preseason, and how things have looked in Chicago. That's coming up here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole with its V-shaped stud configuration is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.